Well, let's take our Bibles and open them up to the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. For some of you, that will sound familiar, as that was covered in part in our morning time in Sunday school. And thank Butch for that. I want to camp a little bit on the three verses that he brought attention to, as I believe you called them, Butch, the hat trick of Thanksgiving. As in these three verses, there are three mentions of the word or the idea of giving thanks. And so in verse 15 of Colossians 3, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Father, I do pray that in this season in which everybody's speaking of being thankful, that we will do more than talk about it. That we will be thankful people and speak gratefully to you and to others. And Lord, not just this week, but may we be known as grateful people all our days. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, the one who came to rescue us. In His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So a little bit of sharing as your pastor. There are some sermon preparation times that are more daunting than others. Perhaps the funeral of a child. Or the funeral of a scoundrel, and everybody knows it, but the rest of the family is saved. It's difficult. Or that passage that's upcoming that's controversial, that everybody has their idea about what it means, and then you're supposed to stand forth and proclaim exactly the correct interpretation. That's sometimes difficult. And then there are seasonal sermons, like Thanksgiving sermons. Well, Pastor Ken, why in the world would that be difficult? What else am I supposed to say after be thankful? And some of you have been in churches most of your lives. How many Thanksgiving sermons have you heard? You need to hear another word of direction to be thankful. And yet, three times in a row, Paul tells the Colossians, and this is the only time in this letter that he says, be thankful. He opens the letter in chapter 1 with a word of thanksgiving. And now he's having to repeat himself, boom, 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 in quick order. Which probably tells us we are a forgetful people and need to be reminded to be thankful. So this morning, it's my hope to walk through this passage. Probably nothing will be absolutely brand new to us. But may the Spirit use His Word to refresh us in reminding us our calling and the reasons for our thanksgiving. So this morning, let's begin by taking a look at what thanksgiving is connected to, each verse on its own. And so let's begin with verse 15. We're going to see that thanksgiving is connected to the body of Christ. Thanksgiving is connected to the body of Christ. Now Paul, if you'll remember, last week we were in Colossians as well for the Lord's Supper. Those of you who are wondering, we will get back to that last beatitude next Sunday. I have not forgotten that we were going through Matthew. But I do want to use this time this week, and as we're looking at Colossians, Paul did not plant the church in Colossae. One of his disciples did that, or disciple of Christ that he helped to mentor and to train. And so this is a letter sort of as a grandfather to the congregation, reminding them of the things of the gospel, the way that the church is to act, rather general. And so in chapter 3, we see him giving the advice that we see him giving also to the Ephesians and elsewhere, put to death or to put off certain sinful activities, and then to put on certain righteous activities as they go about their lives as believers. And he begins to focus now on the body life or life together. And see in verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So you see that he's now moving to a corporate nature of the body of Christ, living in harmony. And how would we do this? We let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. He is the focal point of any church, right? The moment we begin to focus on anyone else or any other issue besides Christ, then the fractures of division begin to occur. But peace of Christ rules in our hearts, dominates in our hearts, to which you were called in one body. And be thankful. Now, in this phrase, at least as I have it in the ESV, and be thankful, it is a command and an adjective. The command comes in what we would call in our English grammar that helping word, that helping verb, the be verb. That word be in the Greek is a command. Be something. And now, so therefore, Paul fills in the blank with this adjective. So we are commanded, and in the Greek also given a description of what we are continually to be. We are commanded to continually be about something, and that focus is thankfulness. To which my first question for myself and for you this morning, when others go to describe you, do they use the adjective thankful? They can use a lot of adjectives to describe you. Handsome, pretty, punctual, organized, strong, faithful, persevering, long-suffering, funny. But do they use the word thankful? That's a thankful person. Somewhat convicted this week, pondering that idea. I'm afraid there are days, and I pray it's not the overarching arc of my life, where if someone were to verbally sketch me, rather than thankful, the word complaining would come up. And here's the trick. You cannot speak a word of complaint and gratefulness at the same time. The tongue just doesn't manage that, and neither does the heart. In fact, this is one of the means by which Paul is giving some practicality to the issue of harmony or unity in the body, rather than pointing out, looking around, pointing out to the differences that may lie between us, rather looking for those things that I can be grateful about. As I look to you. And if I'm focusing, if I'm concentrating on, if I'm being intentional about finding something to be grateful for, then I have no time to grumble. Thanksgiving, connected to the body. And so let me just ask you to it's okay. Take your eyes off of me on the screen. Just gaze across the congregation for a moment. Is there somebody that you're thankful for this morning? Now, this is what I want you to do. Write their name down. And before you leave today, approach them and let them know. Because if you're like me, and I hope that you're not in so many ways, but maybe if you're like me and you think, oh, I need to thank so-and-so for, and before you know it, boom, everything's over. And you're gone home, and it's Thursday. And I'll do it next Sunday. And it's the next Thursday. So look around. Who are you thankful for? Who in the building helps model Christ? Who in the building has encouraged you in Christ? Who in the building has been some form or fashion a means of gratefulness in your heart to the Lord? Write that name down. And before you go today, that pot roast will wait. Let's be obedient to the Scripture. And be thankful in connection to the body. Now, I'm going to have the opportunity because I have, I don't want to say the bully pulpit, the kind-hearted pulpit, to express my gratitude to be able to say to you, this is our 10th year together. And I thank the Lord for that. Not every pastor gets to say that they're thankful for 10 years. There are a lot of pastors who don't get to say thankful for 2 years. So I'm thankful to the Lord for you and the 10 years that we've had together. I'm thankful to you for your expressions of love for me and my family. I'm thankful to you for the number of you who come up to us and ask us how to pray. And then to know, I'm thankful to know that those are not empty words, but that there are prayers to follow. Be very practical. I'm thankful that the Lord uses you to feed my family. I don't deserve that, but He uses you to provide that. And I'm thankful. I am thankful to the body for being good and caring to our children. I'm thankful for the body for men who can ably teach the Word of God, either in my place because I'm sick or out of town or in Sunday school. I'm thankful for women like who have been laboring the past couple of months, Mary Nell and Harriet and Betty and Patty and others who have been combining all these. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for those of you who do not want me to say your name, but you do so many quiet things behind the scenes. Like take somebody to the doctor. Or to go visit others in the rest home. I'm thankful that we have a body who is known for praying. I'm thankful to be a part of the body that is known for caring for one another. And so on this Thanksgiving Day in which we read this verse and we are a part of one body to which we have been called, and in the essence of that oneness of the body, we are to be thankful. And so I want you to know that I am thankful for the great privilege to be called your pastor. I am thankful to the Lord for you, and I'm thankful to you for who you are and what you do for the gospel. So Thanksgiving is connected to the body of Christ. Let us be eager to express that to the Lord and to one another. In verse 16, then, we move on. Thanksgiving is connected to worship. Thanksgiving is connected to worship. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness, or if you have the King James, with grace in your hearts to God. What is going on here? Paul is giving some direction as to the conversation of the body as she gathers together, that conversation ought to be centered upon Christ. But the word of Christ. This is why when you're going through the announcements on the wall, you'll see, what praise do you have? Let the word of Christ, as to all His goodness this past week, be in your midst. encourage somebody today by letting them know of how the Lord has been good to you this week. Encourage somebody by sharing with them a scripture verse that you have read this week. Well, they don't want to hear that. Wait a minute. This is the body of Christ, right? Why would I not want to hear some scripture verse from you? Why would I not want to hear some praise from you? That's just the lying whisper of the evil one trying to tame your tongue. Rejoice with one another with who Christ is and what He has done this week. Ask each other, what word of praise do you have this week? I'll share mine. Will you share yours? And of course, now this word of Christ, Paul gets very specific in terms of how we are to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. So there will be the teaching ministry, perhaps, but singing psalms, which we've done today. We sang a portion of Psalm 108. And hymns directed about the person and activity of God. And we've sung some of those hymns this morning in terms of acknowledging who God is and what He has done in us and for the saints of the ages. And spiritual songs, those songs which are in some form or fashion about life with God. Now I'm going to rant a little bit, tenderly. The song Highway to Hell does not belong in a Christian worship service. And yet, there are churches in our land that do so. A very dear friend who recently was bragging that his church band sang Dust in the Wind by Kansas. And inwardly I wanted to scream, but we're not dust in the wind. We are perfectly, purposely made by God for His glory, even in our mother's wombs. We are not happenstance that rises up and blows away at the end of our days. When we sing together, let's make much of Christ. We sing songs to Him. We sing songs to each other to encourage our hearts towards Him. Yes. Are there all kinds of songs? Yes. But let's not go to the world to find songs to sing. There are many that we can find in His Word and centered in His Word to lift up. Thus endeth the rant. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, how is it that we let the Word of Christ... So we've got this bubble here, if you will. Let the Word, if you're diagramming this, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let conversation be about Christ between us. And perhaps some of it will be in spoken form with wisdom or sung form in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The bubble wraps. How do we do all of this? With thankfulness. Or, as I said, the King James says, with grace. And what's going on here? Is this a clash of two translating words? No. The idea here is that the word that is used here is an expression of gratitude that someone else has done on your behalf. So that I am living in thanksgiving, aware that God has done something marvelous for me. Because God has done something marvelous for me, I will want to speak the word of Christ to others around me, especially those who are supposedly on the same team as I am. With thankfulness, with grace in your hearts to God, so that He receives, as was said earlier in the Sunday school hour, that He receives the glory. A thankfulness in your hearts that He receives the glory. That when I'm contemplating who God is and what He has done, the focus of me receiving any accolades is just obliterated. So that when I am thinking about what Christ has done, I'm overwhelmed with God the Father through Christ in His Son, in His Spirit, what they have done, what He has done, three yet one, in my life, I am blown away and I am reduced to acknowledging I have done no good thing, and God has done every good thing. So in my worship, It's all about Him. With a touch of thankfulness in everything. So this Tuesday evening, when we come together for our midweek worship that I hope that you will come back for, from beginning to end, it will all be thank you and praise. And so begin this afternoon making up your list. What am I thankful for? What may I praise the Lord for in terms of Him? In terms of the body of Christ? This Tuesday evening we will begin with singing. And then there'll be a lifting up of praises and lifting up of thanksgiving and singing more and lifting up of praises and lifting up of thanksgiving. Well, Pastor, are we ever going to ask God for anything? Can I just be honest? We do that a lot already, right? And that's not a bad thing. God does encourage us to bring to Him all our petitions. But maybe seasons like this are good to remind us. It's good just to focus on what He has already done and who He already is before I ask Him for more. So Tuesday, I hope you'll come and worship with thanksgiving, an awareness of grace in your hearts toward God. So thanksgiving is connected to the body of Christ. Thanksgiving is a part of worship. And hopefully we have heard several words of thanksgiving throughout, from the beginning to the end, as we close, the words of thanksgiving to the Lord. And then thirdly, as we're looking at verse 17, just in case you think that thanksgiving is something that should take place only when we're together, Paul blows the door off that. And verse 17, thanksgiving is connected to everything. How do you know that? Well, because in verse 17 it says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything." Do you see the emphatic nature of what Paul is saying here? And whatever you do, when you're going into work tomorrow, when you're scrubbing the toilet on Thursday, when you're raking the leaves yet again on Saturday, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Another little side note. As I was studying this week, yesterday particularly, somebody mentioned verse 17 takes away any opportunity for so-called interfaith worship services. Because Christians can only give thanks to the name of Jesus and cannot share a worship service with those who do not. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor Ken, what does everything mean? Well, in case it's tricky, everything. You mean when I've got to go to my third doctor's appointment, I need to be thankful for my doctor's appointment? Yes. Why should I be thankful? You have a doctor to go to. There are some parts of the world that you cannot do that. No matter what kind of health system we may be under at the moment, there are some parts of the world, you're sick, you will probably die from something that we can get an antibiotic for and be over. Be thankful in everything, even as you host family members. And you're in the midst of all that scuttle to get clean, and it's all overwhelming you. You get to see family, maybe that you haven't seen in a while. Pastor Kenneth is going to be my first or second, my third Thanksgiving without a loved one. Be thankful that if they are with Christ, they are rejoicing Be thankful for their joy. Or let's say you go Wednesday at 11 o'clock to the grocery store. Maybe not 11, but it's 5 o'clock and you go to the grocery store and you forgot that one, I don't know, Naomi does the cooking in our house, the one can of cranberry sauce, you know, cranberry gel that you need for the recipe that's everybody's favorite. And you go and that particular brand is out. In fact, not only is that particular brand out, but the whole shelf of cranberry stuff is gone. I'm undone. As you stand in a supermarket with 10,000 food items. But none of us have ever done that. For everything. Whatever you do in word or deed, for some of you, you will not be able to see certain family members as much as you would like to. But you will see them some. And be thankful. Your life is not going the way that you want it to in every single area. But in honesty, it's not going so badly in every area. Children, husbands, I got to wash the dishes. Thank the Lord and thank my wife. I have clean dishes to wash, or cleaned up dishes to wash, because that means I ate. Wives, when your husbands go home today, or your children go home today, and they give you that blackened grilled cheese sandwich, be thankful you didn't have to cook. Be thankful that they loved you enough to try. This is my hopefulness for us this week. That we would ask the Spirit to work in our hearts such that He would put a guard on our hearts and our tongues, so that we would take captive our thoughts, and when that moment of complaining rises up in our throats, that moment of ungratefulness, that moment of grumbling and bickering begins to rise up out of our throats or from our fingertips to our keyboards, that we just stop. In the name of Jesus, let me find something to be thankful for. Because I'm commanded to do that. I'm in nowhere Scripture commanded to complain. In fact, Scripture tells us that the Lord hates. Go into the Scriptures. There's very few things that it says that the Lord hates. But one of them is grumbling and complaining. All the time, Pastor? All the time, because God says, well, how do you know all the time? Because it just says everything. So maybe there will be some times, though it's not something. Well, I can't let you off the hook, because in verse 17, when it says giving thanks, again, it's a present active participle, which means at any present moment, and it's an ongoing activity. That's what I'm to be marked by. Well, that sounds hard. And it is hard. But perhaps no more harder than for Martin Rinkhart, who wrote your second song today in the middle 1600s, in the midst of the 30 Years' War, in which he buried his wife and children and stayed in town during the plague, and wrote this hymn in the midst of a year in which he buried 4,000 people. In the midst of 50 funerals a day on some days. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands. He's seeing his town literally, physically decimated. With heart and hand and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices. Particularly that second verse, did you hear what you were singing? Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts. Martin, time for another funeral. With ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us. Martin, your wife just passed away. And keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed. Martin, your children have just died. And free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given. Well, let us be thankful people. Let us ask the Lord to strengthen us away from the continual dissatisfaction with the way we think the world ought to be run. And more of a contentment that Paul speaks of. You know, he said, I've known what it is to be rich and I've known what it is to be poor, but this I have learned, the value of being content. And all the Lord does. So this week, and really for the rest of our lives, let us connect our thanksgiving to the body. Let us connect our thanksgiving and worship to God and all His grace and what He has done in His Son. And as we walk away from this building to our workplaces, to our textbooks, to our recreations, to our boisterous moments and to our quiet moments, let's tie thanksgiving to everything. And let's pray. Father, as we ponder this issue of thanksgiving, perhaps it would be good for you to just erase from our hearts and erase from the way we think about things the very thought that we deserve anything. So that we could begin to see every good thing as a perfect gift from the Father above. May you begin to expose our hearts of any demanding nature that we have. May we more and more reflect a surprised nature that all this good has come our way. Would you help us to act in gratefulness, in word or in deed? So Father, would you help spouses to act and speak thankfully to each other, and for parent and child, members of a congregation, brothers and sisters and friends, just may we begin to be effusive with our thanksgiving to each other for your glory and honor. Because this is pleasing in your sight and good for the body. May we be willing to obey the command to be known as a thankful people. Forgive us where we have not. And even those sins the blood of Christ was needful for. And He shed it. And they are removed. But may we go and sin no more the sin of ingratitude. And may we leave this place rejoicing in Your grace, with thankfulness in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.